Welcome to Sidetracked, your unofficial agency of record. I'm Shane.
And I'm Emily, and we help run Trek, a tech-driven, full-service creative agency based in Rockford, Illinois.
Here on the podcast, we tackle our clients' biggest marketing challenges. We reveal what's worked for us and dig into real-life case studies and practical strategies you can put to work today.
Curiosity is our compass, which is why we always start with a question. All right. Today's big question is, should I hire a CRM administrator? And here to help us answer this question, back with us is Jillian Hazy, our HubSpot administrator. Welcome, Jillian.
Woo, hey, Jillian.
Hey, glad to be back. I guess the first podcast went okay.
Yes.
Yes, we invited you back.
You did awesome. And you have so many wonderful thoughts to share with us. We had to have you back on your area of expertise in particular. Email, you know, but this is kind of your playground here. So we can start maybe with you telling us, first of all, what is a CRM and why do you need someone to administrate it? Let's start with the basics.
Great question. A CRM or a customer relationship management system is essentially the backbone of your customer data. So it's where your sales, your marketing, and service teams come together. You can track interactions, nurture leads, and really ultimately drive business growth. Kind of the important thing to remember about a CRM is that it's not just a static database. So it's a living, breathing ecosystem. There's new data constantly flowing in. And that's really why you need someone to administrate it. So someone there to keep the data clean, workflows running, integrations running. And without kind of that dedicated admin, your CRM can get messy, which, you know, it would lead to missed opportunities, inefficiencies in like your processes, and really could kind of end up leading to costly mistakes. So that's what an admin does, is make sure that, you know, everything stays clean, organized, and running.
I would also add something I've seen you do as a CRM administrator is you're not just kind of preventing these costly mistakes from being made or cleaning up the data, but you're also able to spot opportunities while you're in there. So you're in there, you're taking care of the data, you're checking out the workflows, and then you notice like, hey, you know, this handful of contacts is showing intent. It looks like they have reached bottom of funnel. You're able to kind of identify for our clients' sales teams the next move that they might want to make based on what you're seeing happening in the data.
Most definitely. Yeah. It's a really great way to identify that low-hanging fruit. So, like, not only for me when I'm implementing or suggesting processes, but individual sales or marketing users, they can see that same data and actually, you know, act on it within the CRM. So, yeah, it really drums up a lot of opportunities. And I think that if you're a salesperson and you have the privilege to have access to a CRM, you can definitely use it to your advantage. To, you know, meet your quota, exceed your quota in really kind of easy ways.
Wait, you said the privilege to have access to a CRM. Have you worked with sales teams that don't?
Yes. In a previous life, when I was in sales, I was at a company that did not have a CRM. So essentially all of my outreach that, like, if I was keeping track of outreach for, you know, my leads, typically, I would run like a 5 to 7 touch campaign, and I would track that all within an Excel sheet, which, as you can imagine, is not helpful. And also, if you think about like the mass amount of turnover in sales, you had no like context as to previous conversations that were had by other reps with the leads, which can, I don't know, it kind of made you feel silly when you're reaching out to a prospect and you're like, hey, do you know who we are? And they're like, what do you mean? I just went through this entire sales cycle with you like last year. Like, I how do you not know this? And you're like, you're absolutely, you're right. I should know that.
Yes.
But you're really like dependent on those notes getting passed to you directly from that previous rep who was working that territory. So yeah, it was a lot more work for the sales team.
Wow.
Would you say that a CRM is even to that point, not even just if you're trying to sell somebody something, but if you are a business that communicates with people for any purpose, like it could be a nonprofit that has, donations, or they have even recipients of donations or things like that. I'm just thinking about like all applications here. I think you could make the case that you need a CRM, even if you're not selling something, if you're talking to people with your marketing in your business, you should have a CRM.
Most definitely. I mean, especially like customers. I feel like once you're to the point where you're a customer, you kind of expect that level of relationship where, you understand past conversations, what's already been discussed, what hasn't been discussed. And I think that should be a part of everybody's kind of responsibility with maintaining those relationships with clients.
I don't want to take us down a rabbit trail, but I do want to say I think what you just said is very important because we do work with a lot of companies that use CRMs well in the sales process, but like it almost drops off after they become a customer and there's not that ongoing notation of interactions or feedback even in one central place for customers. And that is like immediate opportunity. If you already have a CRM, you believe in it for sales, bring that over to the customer side and see how you can make your customers even happier if you're documenting things and interactions and feedback and notes about projects, things that worked well, things that didn't. Note that in the CRM too. Like
Yeah, my
that's
first
cool.
experience with a CRM was in a previous job as a customer service rep. And we had a homegrown CRM that was built by our in-house developers. And so it had all of the little bells and whistles that we wanted. And we were trained from day one, every time you talk to a customer, whether it's an email, it's a phone call, it's, even we were interacting with them on social media, you left a note on their account so that any other rep opening up the account can immediately have all of that glorious context. And then it's the sales team, the customer service team, the marketing team. They can just pull up an account and be able to see what's the history with this individual. And we used it to make customer service interactions feel really personal. So you would, you'd get a phone call and you'd immediately pull up that account, like scan what were the last few conversations, refer back to what they last called in about. And it felt like, oh, wow, this company really knows me. And you can provide sort of like a magical customer service experience.
That is not the norm, and that is
It's
such a
not.
huge opportunity for everybody.
Shane, to your point, like that's where it becomes that much more important with customer interactions, because typically once they're at the point where they become a customer, you have multiple teams engaging with them. So you have people from the service side, you have people from sales, and it's if everybody's having different conversations with different, stakeholders in the business or even the same, like you need that one central place that everyone can go back to and kind of pick up on everything that's been done. Even if you were not the one that had the conversation, you are well aware of what is going on at that any given time in the account.
So back to there's a lot of data there. You have to manage it. You have to keep an eye on it. Somebody has to be saying this is the standard of the data that you need to put in so that you can create that cohesive sales and customer experience. So Shane, how can you even have an administrator? Like, what are the options for somebody that might have a CRM and needs to figure out, like, how do we make this useful?
So you can have in-house CRM administrators, one or more. We've worked with companies that have multiple in-house CRM administrators because they have a lot going on. Or you can outsource it. You can work with for example, an agency like ours to have someone else manage your CRM, partner with them, tell them what you want. Then they go and do all of the technical and logistical work to make that happen. Because a lot of making a CRM work for your company is customizing what comes out of the box. So any CRM that you purchase, it's going to be set up a certain way. There are going to be certain defaults that, but every company is different. Like maybe you don't call accounts accounts. You call them something else. Maybe you don't call prospects prospects. You call them leads. Like you want things to be set up in a way that works for your company and your team, so that it just works seamlessly. You want your sales process to be set up in the right way. Every company has different stages for a deal. And so you have to customize all that. And usually when we work with someone or a company that's looking to outsource their CRM administration, that's the first step is we try to figure out all of their business processes and then customize the CRM to fit those.
Yeah. So maybe it would be helpful to dive into each of those then and just kind of dig a little deeper. The in-house, what would be a reason someone would choose to do that? Because some people, I mean, especially if you're at a bigger company, you might be thinking by default, oh, this needs to be somebody in-house. And like, there might be some obvious pros there, but there might be some things you also have to kind of trade off with. Jillian, do you want to maybe take us through some pros and cons in your mind, having been kind of,
yeah,
obviously you're with us and you're somebody on the outside, but we've worked with companies that have some, like your counterpart on the inside. So yeah. You have kind of that perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the advantage to having someone in-house is that you have someone that really knows your data inside and out. So they understand, you know, your business context, any kind of team quirks, and your business's unique goals. So when you need something done, they're there, they can act on it. And I think the flip side of that is that, being in-house, you can become a bit siloed. So like an administrator might not be exposed to maybe like the latest best practices or trends going on or opportunities. And so that are outside of the business itself. So yeah, I mean, you just kind of become siloed in that sense. And I think too, like if you are only relying on one person that has that deep knowledge of the system, then you risk bottlenecks in the processes or like failures if they were to leave the company or even like take leave. So putting all of kind of your eggs in that one basket can come with some risk as well.
And yeah, then the onus is really on that person to really keep up with the advancements in the technology, whichever platform you've chosen. Mm-hmm. So on top of their job of administering the CRM all day, they're also having to understand new features that are being added to the chosen platform. They're having to understand, you know, when changes are coming to the technology, how does that impact what they've set up in the CRM? And that can be a whole job in and of itself.
Yep. Yeah. And I think from what we see too, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, in the beginning, especially, it's really helpful to have at least somebody who's like all in. That's not like maybe full-time in-house, but like if you're onboarding a CRM, then having one person to help just be the owner on one side is like, to me, essential, because you don't know, as an agency, we don't know all the personalities. We don't know all of the nuances with like, what is someone more realistically going to input if it's a drop down versus if they want to write in a bunch of notes or like that customization part you were speaking to, Shane. And so like in the beginning, especially, like I would say somebody in-house dedicated is like non-negotiable regardless, but like ongoing management after that point is like where some of those cons come in. Like if it's somebody who stays dedicated to that or if they are just sort of kind of involved. So I guess that leads me to the next one, which is like, what if you just said, we want to outsource it completely. Maybe that's where I started to go, where I say, you always need to have somebody who knows what's going on.
Well, to go back to the point you were just making, I think it's actually kind of risky to pull someone into CRM just for a period of time when that's not their full-time job, just for the implementation, because you really have to understand how to set up a CRM to do an implementation. And the example you gave is actually a perfect one. So if you pull someone in and you say, this is just your project for this period of time, that person might not know things like, okay, if we're setting up new custom fields in the CRM, I actually do want to make it a drop down instead of a text field, because if we make it a text field, like everyone is telling me they want, we're going to have really messy data really quickly. Whereas a professional CRM administrator, that's CRM 101. They know not to do that. Even if people are saying, no, it has to be a text field, they will push back. And they will die on that hill. It cannot be a text field because the data is going to get messy. And so they know how to set up the fields so that the data will stay clean. And I think that's really key to think about when you're thinking about who's on your implementation team. If you're implementing a CRM, you have to have at least one expert on that team.
So maybe what I'm describing is more like you need to have a knowledge expert. Regardless of how you use the CRM for implementation, you need a internal champion expert, but they're not the administrator. And that's the difference you're talking about.
Yes. Like, cause you're talking about like, change management. So having a champion who can get everyone else at the company on board, that is also something that you need. But they have a totally different role.
Yeah, that's important. Do you have anything to add, Jillian?
No, I mean, I think to both of your points, like, somebody can set it up in the context of the business and what's asked for at that given time. But I think the important thing about CRMs is that you have to kind of think long term. So you want it to be something scalable, that the team can grow into. And then when you start getting into it, like, you realize you need these things set up in a certain way so that you can get the reporting that is being asked for. And you can do the things that you want to do. And I think anybody can kind of set up a generic type of CRM and make it what it is. But I don't think it would last long term if you don't have that kind of like strategic expertise in knowing how it should be set up.
For sure. So let's circle back to how we were talking about our first option of our in-house. So let's look back then at that outsourcing option, fully having your CRM administrator outsourced. What are some pros and cons there? Maybe Jillian, you start.
Yeah. Well, I think kind of an obvious one is that an outsider like outsourcing can bring valuable outside perspective. As an admin, I know myself, I have basically seen it all. So I know it works across different industries. Like, we have clients of all different types. And I can spot those inefficiencies and opportunities that maybe an insider would miss.
And faster too.
Yeah. And I think you get access to like a broader skill set in that sense. And I think another kind of obvious point is that outsourcing could be a lower cost than hiring a full-time person. So there's advantages to that. And another kind of good point is that outsourcing with like an agency, you have that like contractual relationship where you can either scale up or scale down as your needs change. So there's some flexibility there. So that is very nice. Con to outsourcing, I think, is that, you know, an outside admin doesn't work for you directly. So they might not know like the day-to-day context of your business. And there might be like a learning curve at first so that everyone is on the same page. They understand everything that you have going on, you know, your team structure, your company's goals, even culture. So that would be a con to fully outsourcing is just that initial. I don't think it's ongoing, because at this point, like, you know, at Track, we have years, like 10 plus year relationships with clients. So like we understand them I think very well. But at first, you're going to need to invest in that time to make sure that your outside partner understands.
Yeah.
And I think two, which we haven't mentioned, is like there is a third option outside of in-house and outsourcing, which is a hybrid of the two. And really, I think the advantage to a hybrid solution is that it offers you that kind of agility of having that internal support for any of your daily needs, like we were talking about. But you can leverage that outside expertise for maybe some more of the bigger projects, or if you want to get more strategic. So there's an option to have both. And I guess if I had to give like a con to a hybrid solution, it'd probably be that like you need to know your defined role. So you don't want to have like overlapping responsibilities. You want to have like a very clear set of responsibilities for each person so that you guys can work strategically together and not independently.
So when you say hybrid, you mean there is an in-house CRM administrator working full-time to, you know, meet the needs of the business, and then they're partnered with a CRM administrator from an agency who can come in and maybe like answer additional questions or provide an outside perspective or provide more kind of strategic guidance or do bigger projects.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that like a hybrid solution is like kind of the best of both worlds, because kind of to our points before, like having someone in-house is extremely valuable. But you could miss things. So it's just, you get a little bit of both. And, I feel that, having someone on the other side, like, is helpful, because you can strategize together. Like they know, like we were saying, the ins and outs of that business. And me, for example, as an admin, like I have a lot of experience and, expertise in the CRM itself. So when you combine those things together, I think it works really well.
I like that.
Yeah. So how do you decide? I mean, we love the hybrid because of all the reasons you just said, Jillian. But if I'm a business, how do I decide which of these options is for me? I know I need a CRM if I don't have one already. How do I make sure it stays clean? Okay, we're saying you need to have an administrator. Great. Step three is then make a decision about how you get that administrator. What do you, either of you, think?
I mean, first, to Jillian's point before about the cost of hiring someone full-time in-house, do you need that? Like, are you at the level where you actually need a person 40 hours a week to be working on this CRM? A lot of companies don't. So that might be the first question. Or are you big enough that you need multiple people in-house? So I would just first think about the complexity of what's happening in the CRM and how much time it's going to take to administrate it.
Yep. I totally agree with Shane. And I think if you need flexibility, or you want access to more expertise than you have in-house, or you're, looking to save on overhead, then outsourcing is a good option. And for a lot of people, the hybrid approach works well. So you have that in-house for daily operations, and then you rely on more the agency partner for strategy, maybe more complex migrations or integrations with other technology. And they're there if you need to scale more quickly.
So some questions you might ask yourself: how complex is your data? You were saying, Shane. Jillian, you were saying, like, how quickly do you need to be able to move or adapt to what's happening in your industry, in your business?
I would also think about your tech stack. So, how many other systems is this CRM going to be integrated with? Do you have an ERP? Are you doing things like fulfillment? And you're going to need, shipping notifications to be going out from the CRM. And that definitely makes things more complicated. And then also think about, like, how mission critical is it when something needs to be fixed in the CRM or changed in the CRM? Does it need to be like, we need someone here right now to fix this in the next 5 minutes? Or can it be, okay, I'm going to reach out to my outsourced CRM administrator and they're going to take care of it within 24 hours?
I agree. I think that's a good point, is like the level of reliance. So if it's doing major things like fulfillment, that's, it's not something that can stay down for a long time. Those are things that generally need to be handled pretty quickly, and you need to have somebody those that has those skills in house if you're going to do that, like who could act on it and fix it immediately in that sense. So you're kind of spreading the your responsibility a bit when you have another partner that equally knows your specific CRM, but then also has that outside knowledge of best practices within the CRM in the first place.
The other thing to think about is, do you have a large sales team that is, and maybe complicated commissions calculations that need to be done? Because if you're tracking all of those sales in the CRM and say, this large team is needs to hit monthly quotas and we need to get all of that data over to a sales operations team so they can pay out these commissions. If you've got something like that going on, it probably makes sense to have at least one person in-house that can be on hand to do that when it needs to be done so that those people get paid.
Any other questions that you might consider in evaluating these options?
I would say the only other thing I could think of is like how much time. So if you're relying on one individual in-house, how much time do you have, I guess, and budget, to make sure that they have ongoing training and support? Because CRMs, depending on which one you use, they, have a lot of capabilities. So you need someone kind of that is able to have the time and the company be able to invest in to be able to make sure that they're staying on top of changes within that CRM opportunity so that you're like really getting the most out of it and seeing that ROI. The cost of a CRM varies depending on which you go with, but everybody, no matter what the technology, you want to see that investment pay off. So it's important to not only master it at any given time, but then also as changes are made, they implement, they roll out new capabilities that you also are aware of those and taking advantage of them.
All right, problem solved. So, how have we done this with a client before, where we've brought in, maybe we've started a CRM or we've implemented one and then built it into this beautiful data hub that Jillian gets to play in?
All right. So without naming any names, we had a client come to us with a CRM that had become disorganized and I would say unreliable. They had tried to manage it internally, but over time, I think that the data became fragmented and siloed, and there was definitely like duplicate records, missing information. The reporting was a bit inconsistent, so like no one could really trust those numbers. So what we did when they first came is a comprehensive audit. So we identified the issues that were happening. So basically it was like a record management issue, and it wasn't so much like that in itself wasn't working, but that in the context of their business and how it operated wasn't working together. So that needed to be solved. And then the other part was standardizing the data and the data entry, so that we could actually report on it in a way that was reliable, and did lead to like actionable insights for the business. So after that audit, we kind of rebuilt their data structure, rebuilt their workflows. So, automated lead nurturing, assignment, follow-ups, and really like ensuring that nothing was falling through the cracks. And then we followed that with training. So like the basic needs of the system and how you work within it. But then also like how we maintain that data and best practices around that. And I think the results and where we are today are night and day. The CRM is really now like a single source of truth for their entire organization. So we were able to bring marketing, sales, service all together in a collaborative environment. They've seen an increase in their leads and the conversion rate, and also like faster sales cycles. And that did things for, I think, like very important people in the organization. So marketing, they were able to actually like demonstrate the ROI that they're bringing and therefore justify their current budget, but then also like the need for more budget, which I think every marketing department, wants is more budget and not to be seen as like a cost center. And then leadership. So leadership was able to, gain more confidence in their data and their processes and kind of like back off, and let everybody do the thing that they do best. And everyone can now focus on that and driving revenue and growth for the business. So that is a problem solved.
Two questions for you. This was all in HubSpot, right? This was a,
Yeah.
they started in HubSpot. We came in and helped them just kind of reorganize their HubSpot. And then the second question is, it sounds like this is like option two of like completely outsourcing, their HubSpot administration, or do they have somebody that you're working with or that you worked with, like a counterpart in more of that hybrid scenario?
This client had like the person that was fully in-house and like was managing things wore a lot of hats, so it's hard to say that they were like fully like a dedicated admin on that side, but they did the best that they could with kind of like the amount of time that they had in a given day given their vast amount of responsibilities. And now we have somebody that, they're not a dedicated admin, but they are a marketing leader. So they're able to relay kind of like things that are important to the business at any given time, goals, any KPIs. And at this point, like we've had such a long relationship with them that I feel I understand. And I know everybody else that works on the account understands the company, so.
Yeah. So it does sound like a true outsourcing. We have a really strong, maybe to use Shane's language, a really strong internal champion. It's been a couple of
Yes.
different people along the way, but they rely on us to help make sure things keep moving and functioning and stay clean and stay at the level that we've helped them get to. Is that fair
Yep.
statement?
Most definitely.
Problem solved. Problem solved.
Problem solved.
Thanks so much for joining us, Jillian. It's good to
Yes,
have you
thank you for
back.
being here. Thank you. So much fun. Love to talk about CRMs, specifically HubSpot, since we are, a HubSpot solutions partner. So anything ever comes up around HubSpot or any other CRM type of management, you know where to find us.
our 30th year in business. In this season of Sidetracked, we're gathering Trekkies at the bar to reminisce about our favorite moments from the last three decades. All right, Mike, tell us about your favorite Trek memory.
One of my earliest Trek memories that I have is shortly after I started, and we were down at the old office on Main Street. And we had a client who was a paper company, and they were having a trade show come up. And one of the things we needed to do for them was help add this element to their booth that was like an attention-getting type of thing. And I remember being tasked with trying to figure out all of the specifics for orchestrating a arch of paper boxes. So just like the paper reams, all the reams came in boxes, and I had to figure out at what angle the top had to be tilted to in order to make a complete arch, and how high the arch had to be and the cornerstones. And we did a demo in the office, a full-size demo that we ended up and once before just pushing it over and destroying it. But then seeing the pictures of their team, like a team building exercise, I believe they did it once for a sales meeting that they had to do it in. And then the team did it while they were at the booth for the show. And I thought that was kind of cool.
So an arch made out of cardboard boxes that usually held reams of paper.
Yeah. Yeah, so we had to figure out all the logistics for that to try and make that
happen. How tall was it?
It was tall.
Yeah, I'd say the bottom of the arch was at least 8 foot.
Wow.
So I would say 10 to 11 feet high.
Okay.
So yeah, we had to use ladders and...
How long did it take you?
Oh, we did it in an afternoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a fun afternoon.
Yeah. So it was that, you know, just starting, and then that's one of the things that I got to do and figure out, and I thought that was really cool.
Was this like an all hands on deck situation? Everybody drop what you're doing. We're all going to figure this out together.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I think we still have pictures of it somewhere and some video of it coming down.
I was still in school. High school, because I remember coming into the office and the arch was set up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my memory.
Well.
All right.
Cheers to 30 years.
Cheers to 30 years.
Thanks for joining us. If you like this episode of Sidetracked, rate and review it, share it with a friend, subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
You can learn more about Trek at trek.com. That's TREKK.com.
See you next time.
See ya.